Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servididio, and I am your host tonight. Thank you so much for listening. Today I have an interesting guest with us. I have Pastor Luan Rouse. He is the pastor of the United Methodist Church in Huntington, Cold Spring Harbor. And him and his wife, Marie, are striving to be peacemakers living by spiritual discipline with ethical guidance. They're also working very closely with PIT, prevention, information, and training in relation to Ebola, and also getting ready to be doing the prayer walk with Reverend Danny Garcia during September 9th to the 21st, mapping the global journey for peace. Thank you so much, Pastor, for joining us this evening.
Thank you. It is my blessing to be a part of all that you're doing. I have been following your work, praying with your work, and most specifically, recently, your conversation with Reverend Danny Garcia. Thank you for all that God is leading you to do.
Thank you so much. So let's get right into it. I know there's been you've been working with Reverend Danny Garcia, a lot of work building up to September 9th and the prayer walk, and also in relation to Ebola. How did this all get started?
Reverend Danny Garcia and I, around 6-7 years ago, met one another walking for the Boys and Girls Choir of Harlem to go to China to be in the Festival for Peace. Both of us have been peacemakers for numerous years now, having both been a part of the Marines. I was a United States Navy Reserve chaplain, and most of my 20 years was assigned to Marine units. So we had common bonds, but the most specific thing we had in common was God. So when I emailed him that I was asking people around the world again to join in praying against terrorism and terror of any sort, which not only includes the terrorists that we know by the violence that they perpetrate, but also the diseases that horrify our people and the schisms between our human relations. And so we asked people to pray from 9/11 through February the 7th. That is in line with the Psalm, 150 Psalms, 150 days. And the Psalms were chosen because of King David and the sincerity of heart that he had towards God, and the fact that he never lost in battle, and that he had specific prayers where he asked God to go and defeat the enemy. And the enemy before us right now, one of the greatest ones that we're coming together on now, is Ebola. And in reading that, Reverend Danny Garcia and I connected again, and he told me that he was getting ready to launch not only his walk here on the 9th, where I will join him at the United Nations, but he's doing his global walk again, bringing the attention of people to what is happening in the world right now and the fact that we're asking God intervention, and the people of God to pray on one accord, to walk together, to sing together, to read the word together, and to know that the victory is in our Lord.
Yes. And I know, I think it's been so much on the media, we see on television, in the newspapers of Ebola coming up, and just it's sort of, it seems to the public that it's come out of nowhere and that it's really taking over. What with your walk and your movement, what would you like to have our listeners learn, to have our listeners pray about, and really, you know, be able to work in this effort?
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. The first thing, one of the main things that we want, we need financial support, of course, for those who are working with Ebola. The protective gear, the preventative gear, is necessary, and the people, especially in West Africa, that's needing it the most are not able to afford it. Excuse me. Even if we have found a medical solution, which ZMAP is not assured of being right now for everybody, But even for those that it is able to help, can they afford it? So those who have generosity of heart are those who have money and their hearts are not generous yet. Know that we are praying for the generosity to hit, because the investment that they make now is not just for the people who are immediately confronted by Ebola, but it is for all of the world. Because if we don't stop Ebola now, Ebola will spread all around the world, and it has the potential of taking a huge number. Even one loss is too many, but the amount of losses that could possibly come from this is just too tremendous to ignore. The other is to get the proper information, for the information of Ebola is not properly distributed everywhere now. For instance, Ebola has been around plaguing people since the 70s, but people are just beginning to hear about it. And it's not important to ask the question as to why it's just now coming before the awareness of the people. But in our existential situation now, it is before the mass of the people. So we need the mass of the people to have the right information about it. And that's why we have the ambassadors at the United Nations, sovereign leaders in the countries of Africa, working with top-level scientists, doctors. I've asked them, as a therapist, I've asked them to also focus on the psychosocial element of it, because we need to work on eliminating fear that individuals are living under so that we can work towards an adequate means of peace. Because sometimes the reactions of fear can do as much as the disease itself to cause us to lose it within our communities, as we are seeing in West Africa. Individuals are beginning to die now, I got the report last night, from not getting the proper medical attention, because they're afraid to go to the medical clinics now because they're so afraid of Ebola. Yet they still die from that which they missed being treated for, that they already had as an element of a disease. So we need people to be aware of the right information, and then we need people trained. So, again, we need money that individuals can get the appropriate training and can affordable training, and with the leadership that will get it in the medical area and the psychological area, also in the spiritual area, all of the components that are necessary for individuals to know how, when they are working with people or treating people, to watch out for this disease. This disease is so bad that the fluids from it, even sweat from it, can cause individuals great discomfort, great pain, and even death. We haven't, what the medical treatment is telling me, the doctors, physicians there, scientists there, they've never seen anything like this. So we need to be aware, not panic, but get in prayer together, reading together, asking for divine intervention to do that which we know not the ability to do thus far.
Yes, and you brought up an amazing point about fear. And I find so many of my listeners, and also in my private practice, fear is so paralyzing. People feel fearful. They don't know much about it. They don't know what's going on. They feel helpless. They feel out of control. And they allow that fear to paralyze them, to take over their life, so they're not able to act on it. They're not able to advocate for themselves. And, you know, they start not feeling confident. And I find so many times that can be really crippling. And I've spoken with Reverend Danny Garcia on some past shows I've done with him about the spirit of fear and really how much of it can really, you know, hinder your life and hinder your quality of life.
Exactly. So, and that's why we need individuals to recognize that as we exist here, that there is a greater source than ourselves and a greater source than what we hear of and what we receive from others in terms of human beings. We all have to trust God. I have been teaching my congregation and students at seminary to remember the reality of existence We are all less than a second away from death. It could come at any moment in time. So we know we are all going to die. It's just the manner in which we die that we have preventative methods for. That's why we call it PIT, so that we can look at, first of all, what are the things that we can do to help in prevention of diseases and the prevention of death, the prevention of the wild acts that would behead people and things of that nature. What is it that we can do to prevent that? Those things have to come to us by a divine spirit that's greater than us, that where we are yet to have the knowledge for it, we can have the wisdom of God imparted upon us to do the things that are necessary. But in the midst of that, it's important for individuals to worship. It's important for individuals to pray. For through praise and prayer, worship God, and worshiping God, God to us, the people of God who humble themselves, pray, seek the face of God, and turn from the things that would damage us towards the things that are good for us. God will still hear our cry, as he did with Solomon in the days in which he was looking at the responses regarding the temple. He would do the same thing for us, but we are the temple of the Lord today. We receive the elements and power from God Almighty. Those of us who are Christians, through our faith in God by way of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we need not hold back on that. We who are disciples of Jesus, we have the commission to make disciples of all the world. And if we come into that fear lesson, our fear would be the fear of not worshiping God. But that's when we are unprotected, unguarded, and vulnerable to everything around us.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to, I've asked this question to Reverend Danny Garcia and also Reverend Deborah Muldow. A lot of times in my private practice with clients, I also get the question is, you know, why would God allow these horrific things happening? Why, you know, I'm upset about this. I can't understand why these things would be happening. Why would he allow this to happen? And it's sometimes I find myself, you know, having difficulty answering it by saying, you know, again, it's not in a human's understanding. It's, you know, God's plan, God's will. But what would you say to that?
God is not allowing everything that we are attributing to God that God allows. Individuals are rebellious against God. God would be going against God's self if God took us out because of our disobedience or because of our resistance to the truth of God. But God still loves all people. God's love is so unconditional. God's love is so recognizable that God would go to the extent of not even destroying Satan, because God's love is too much, too powerful to do so. There's always that help, that hope, that those of us who cannot transform Satan, because Satan will not transform in himself but keeps a continuous disobedience to God, must come into the recognition that we have the same unconditional love that God has, that it is not evil that we are seeking so much to destroy, that it will not be the evil people be in existence, but we are seeking to transform it. Whenever you do that, you are at risk of that which is evil turning again. And that's why individuals say we cannot completely dismiss the military. But the military exists, violence meeting violence, sometimes because some evil reached the point where they feel the only answer is to take it out. But those of us of faith who recognize the great love of God realize, too, that violence upon violence is never going to be the answer, because all it does is perpetrate more violence, and then evil tends to win because it stirs back up. So in the midst of the necessities of protection, when we feel that is the end there, that is not so much where God is not allowing or that God is permitting. That is that God has given human beings still the ability of choice. But in the midst of that choice, those of us who restore ourselves into right relationship with God must use the weapons that God has told us is against that which is evil. That's what destroys that from saying it's God's permissive will. No, God has given the instruments and the elements that are necessary to defeat and win against evil. That's the word of God. That's prayer. That's our living under the spiritual discipline. That's our coming through to follow the ethical means and ways that leads to that right, perfect relationship and will of God. Now, I understand when individuals try to say that it is a permissive will of God because God just won't zap it out. But if God zapped it out, then no, that's not a permissive will. God zapping it out means that God has been defeated by evil. But what is it that evil desires? For all of us to be destroyed. And God says in his word, I will never seek to destroy you all again. If destruction comes, it's because you choose to destroy yourself. It is not the will of God. It's rebellion against the will of God.
Yes. I think it also through the prayer walk, through PIT, it sounds like those type of programs, those type of events really help to educate people, to give them the materials, the prayer, the team support, and the power to go against this battle of evil, to fight fear and to live in faith and to live with hope and motivation and not be so crippled by fear and everything we see on the media, because it becomes so overwhelming and so negative and, you know, we're never going to get out of this, but really saying that there is faith, there is believing in God, there is, you know, being a part of a community, a team, a world community, to together peacefully, you know, fight this and work towards you know, a goal of togetherness and peace.
Oh, you're right on it. You have hit it. That's why we are a faith community. People who have come to believe. And if people would just start there, believing and trusting in God, you don't have to be perfect now. You don't have to have all of the greatness that go along with it now. You just know the one who is great and above all things and trust in that and be a part of a strong faith community. Then we begin to develop formation, as you were saying, with Pitt and the others that derive from a relationship with God, and God speaks to us through His Spirit to give out the information of hope. And our love tells us to stick together, hold together, train with one another, stand by one another, do not give up on each other. And by doing this together, even if it's just one at a time, it may seem slow, but we do not own time. God does. In God's time, God is. And therefore, it is the isness of God that we who are finite beings want to unite with, because that's where we receive our immortality, our infinite nature, and we lessen our fears because we know we're connected with the one that cannot be destroyed, that lives forever. So in that, we stand together. Without fear, we stand strong and confident that we're going to win against Ebola and everything akin to it and everything that might derive after it, because the one constant that's the same yesterday, today, and forever is the infinite Lord, our God, who is almighty. And if we're in that connected relationship with God, then together we win, and we will win.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I also sometimes get, you know, I've had difficulty because I grew up, you know, in the church. My family is very religious. My uncle was a Monsignor. You know, he did a lot of social work. He did a lot of everything. So I've always had that belief, you know, in me of God. I'm open up to, you know, I'm open to it. Yes, you know, do I get upset with things? Do I disagree? That happens. I think that's, you know, being human. But I always find difficulty. Some people who haven't had that, you know, brought up with that or haven't been taught God or in religion, it's hard for them to grasp having this faith in something. It's almost they'd rather be disappointed with the evil they know than to give God a chance and be vulnerable.
Yes, you are there. And it's because it, individuals like yourself who have taken their position in the faith and they're using what they have learned, what they have been trained with, through what I call a developmental joy. That's not always seen when you're first developing. But as you mature, you come to recognize that this joy that we have through this development with God, the world can't take away. These situations can't take away. Part of that, we have developmental pain because everybody in existing is going to develop. And when that development is done void of that which God desires for us or within the will of God, then the pain increases. And we become entrapped in growth in that pain. We become depressed. We become seriously ill beyond the ability to tolerate it or accept it. We recognize and see ourselves as being humans and then begin to think that we are hopeless in it. And we lose contact with the fact that we are more than human. We are human, but we don't only have given to us a mind, a heart, and a body, but we have a soul in which the Spirit of the Lord dwells with, and tapping into that gives us our assurance of life beyond death. So not even death then can defeat us or destroy us or take us away or move us away from one another. And that's why I am encouraged by you, Reverend Danny Garcia, and all who are standing up now in this time in history and calling people together again, telling them to come. I don't care what you call it. You can call it the church. You can call it the temple. You can call it the synagogue. Whatever it is, the mosque, whatever you call it, it's got to do the same thing. Become a fitness center in which God now can fit the soul of men and women to be in right relationship with him. Individuals talk about other lights and paths by way in which you could get there. I'm not mad at anybody who does that and people who can get there that way. Jesus wasn't mad at them if they could get there that way. He says, I did not come for those who are there and they've got there. I came for those who are lost, the lost children of Israel, for the Gentiles too who have been blocked out or locked out. I have come that all may see the love and the divine nature of God. So those who would think about my having come through Jesus need not be mad at me or troubled by it, but accept the fact that if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be at the table. If it wasn't for Jesus, I could be a wild person beheading people too. But because of Jesus, not only has my soul been satisfied and inspired, but my heart has been transformed. My mind has been renewed, and I can see things clearly and dearly, and I can concisely come to tell everybody that it is by the word of God and by God, the entity, the being of God, God, that we are going to defeat all of the principalities of the world. We cannot do it without God.
No. No, and I think I also agree. It's not something that happens overnight. We're not saying that it's easy. It's a struggle. It's a tough journey, and it says it also, you know, a long struggle. I've read in the Bible different things that said, you know, it's a struggle. It's a journey. But I think it's really being able to wait the journey out and to have faith and promise in the end and being able to just to believe. And it's hard, I guess, in these times when so many things are going on to believe in something. But I think this is the time to believe in something. I mean, with terrorism and the beheadings and disease and all these things going on, it's frightening. It's very overwhelming. So to have a place of worship or a place, a community to come together and pray and speak and you know, be together with that is very, very empowering.
Amen. You know, my wife and I, we lead the prayer therapy group every Tuesday night here at the church. She leads women in prayer. She and I pray together continuously. We pray even for our 5 children and our grandchildren. We pray for everybody in the world because we recognize that individuals who even think that they do not have a belief, they are believing. They have a belief either for God or against God, but they are believing something. And if they're going to believe anything that's in opposition to God, they're giving in to that which is destroying us. They might as well be supporting those who are in terrorism when they're doing in opposition of a belief in God. You're being bored of that which has the answer. So in our prayer therapy meeting this past Tuesday, two of the individuals who have been with us now for maybe a little better than 2 years, they even asked the question, but what is prayer going to do? And the response that they gave is, prayer is going to do what weapons cannot do. Prayer is going to do what you and I cannot do. Prayer is going to do that which defeats all that is in opposition of God, and we're not able to defeat it. We're not asking you to pray only. We're asking you to pray to become an instrument of God. Then God will direct us. God will show us. God will lead us. Then when God utilizes us as instruments, then even the mission of the military becomes more in line with what it is stated to be. We are to be in the United States under the guidance of God, a military force that is for the establishment and maintenance of peace throughout the world. That's what we are existing for. And that is that when that comes, when peace truly comes, we recognize that evil may not be out of the world because of the ultimate love of God that tells us even to love our enemies. So as long as our enemies are in existence, there's a potential of an uprising from our enemies. But when we are in line with God and praying with God, it is not only an establishment of peace, but it's a maintenance of peace, which says, as the Word of God says, we've got to pray without ceasing. So instead of thinking that prayer does nothing, you don't look for the results. You do the process. You utilize the instrument that God has given you. God is in charge of the results. It's just like those who do use weapons of violence. When they fire them, that bullet, that instrument or whatever, even if it's a knife that's gone from them, they don't know exactly what it's going to do. They have a hope for what it might do, but the results are beyond them. So it is with prayer and with the Word of God. It's the weapons that God has given us, and he's told us to equip ourselves with the armor of God. And we need to put on that armor of God. We need to get into the fruit of the Spirit, digesting it to stay healthy spiritually, that we might fight off the enemy that opposes God, even those who might be in prayer group with us, who give out elements of the enemy by asking us not to pray, because prayer has no value. Prayer has the ultimate, and we need to pray without ceasing to win.
Yes. And speaking with Reverend Danny Garcia about a month ago, we were having this conversation, and he, you know, I always knew, you know, forgive your enemy, you know, be able to turn the other cheek, but he mentioned, he was talking about praying for your enemy and having prayer for them. And it's been such a powerful point. I mean, I bring it up a lot on my shows now moving forward since he told me that. And it's become, I mean, for myself, I can say it's so powerful. It has done so much in my life, a kind of a release of anything, even if the enemy is anxiety or the, you know, fear or, you know, worrying about something if it's going to happen or this and that. But having that release and being able to pray for it and saying, you know what, it's not in my hands. I can't control it. I'm not going to spend every minute, you know, concerned and worried and what's going to happen and wasting all that energy by praying and kind of saying, okay, God, I'm lifting it up to you. You can move on to your day. You can move on. You don't have to have that constant negative monologue going through your head throughout the day, throughout your life, you know, distorting your thoughts.
You're exactly right. One of the things that happens, the reason why I'm calling for individuals to read through the Psalms, and Alexa, I will send you a copy of the Psalms. I've gone through each one of the Psalms, and I've pulled out some prayers for all of the 150 days this time. Before, I was asking individuals to just read one psalm per day, and that is good. That's powerful that for individuals to do it. But this year, I want to be very specific in bringing out prayers that are in opposition of what the enemy is doing, and that's when you are really praying positivity towards the enemy. In Psalms, Psalm 38, Psalm 58, Psalm 35, 34, Psalm 106, Psalm 137, to name a few, all of those psalms that are specifically aimed at the one asking God to intervene, not only to protect me against my enemy, but that my enemy may lose. But what we recognize that in our enemy losing, our enemy wins. Our enemy needs to be able to see itself against itself in order for it to come out. It's like someone being depressed as you work with them. You know
yes.
that if they stay within that depression, it just goes deeper. Depression feeds on depression. But when you can bring in that element of change to give them hope, positivity, get them doing again, that's when they climb out of it. They don't climb out of it by staying in the mud of the depression. So the same thing happens with our enemy. It will not stay and come to where God would have it to be by rotting itself down within that evil. Those who think that they win by beheading, they don't win. Even when they think that they win by leading individuals to give a message before they're beheaded, they can't win. See, the messenger who's going to be beheaded, giving a message, that message is diluted then. Because we know that if I know I'm going to die, you're going to behead me, I don't need to talk. I don't need to give anybody a message. So the message is negated already. So just go ahead and kill me. It doesn't matter whether you shoot me or whatever if you're going to behead me. So, you know, evil cannot see how it works against itself. That it can't win. So we have to pray these prayers that it reaches even to the heart of our enemy, that our enemy is destroyed. By destroying our enemy, we may gain a friend, save
yes.
a soul.
Yes. What happens, because I know a lot of my listeners have, you know, they say they have a lot of anger, they have a lot of resentment, and they feel they're not at a point to pray. They don't feel, you know, they're kind of still really fighting with a struggle, and they're still angry, you know, at the person that hurt them, at God, at everything, that they can't find that ability to be able to just pray or to have anything positive. What would you recommend?
I do not give permission for anyone to destroy my soul or to take me out of right relationship with God. The anger has to become a righteous anger, an anger that motivates me to do even more towards that which is right in order to defeat this ill that is in the world. I do not like individuals and never will like individuals killing anyone. I do not like death in and of itself. If I did, then I continuously give myself towards that which is negative against the will of God. God did not create us for death. God created us for life. Because we go towards and give in to those elements that make even anger, that energy, a negative energy, we give fuel towards that which is in opposition to God. So what I do, I take those energies of anger, and I said, anger does not have to be bad. Anger can be positive. It moves me more to be energized to do the things that will save this world and save these people. For if my neighbor is of such nature that I cannot trust my neighbor, then I need to work harder at trust, not to take on a distrust with my neighbor and continue to fuel it that way. So we've got to look at these things that hurt us deeply and recognize we cannot do it by ourselves, though. I did not reach this point in my existence overnight. I had a mother who set me on her knee teaching me in my developmental years, teaching me against the pains of life towards that which is positive. I had a father preaching and teaching the same, grandparents who prayed for me doing the same, brothers who helped brought me through. We have to do this together. So I would say to individuals who find themselves with a low frustration tolerance level to seek out persons as yourself, solid professionals, and not just someone who's going to do talk therapy with them to get them through the moments, but someone who is also deep in a relationship with God and with a faith that will give them an element that goes beyond just mere existence and acceptance of your anger, but ones who are able to turn those angers, the anger, into positivity that leads to a new direction, not only for one's own happiness and joy and life. As we say in the Christian church, this joy I have, the world can't take away. But not only that, it also leads to inspiring others towards a walk of transformation, a paradigm shift, to have a new attitude towards that which leads not just to self-fulfillment, but wholeness fulfillment, holiness and righteousness within ourselves and with the love for others. We have to work on that.
Yes. And I think it's also, you know, for one person, I always, you know, tell my clients, to sometimes people see it as a weakness that they can't fix it on their own or they can't get over whatever trauma, as they put it, or heal. And they said, you know, I want to do this on my own. It's a weakness to ask for help, to go to therapy, to you know, seek God's assistance that they need, or they almost feel like they're being punished, so they need to kind of, this is their cross to bear, this is what they have to plight for the rest of their life. And I said, that's not what it's about. You know, being able to work together and getting a team support is not weakness. It's actually a sign of strength to have that vulnerable, to have that openness and be able to allow God in, to allow others in, and also be able to show and teach and live by example for other people who go through similar things, to say, wow, you know, you got through this anger, you got through this abuse, and you moved forward. And I think that's, you know, with all this that's going on with the terrorism and disease and fighting and all this, you know, religions against religions, that with Pitt and with also starting September 9th to the 21st, with all this, the walking and the healing, will really be able to show people in a way that this, you know, this is a good way to go. This is a way of opening themselves up to peace and to healing.
Amen. Because we were not created just to function. If we were created just to function, then each one of us could be alone in the world. But there's the word that says we were not created for aloneness. We were not created to be alone. It even goes further to say that it is not good for man to be alone. We are created not just for functions. We are created for relationships. Those relationships need to be healthy and right. You know, if somebody did not invent the telephone, I wouldn't be talking to you right now, because I have no clue of inventing a telephone. But because someone invented the telephone, I'm able to relate to you. You're relating to me. Those who are working continuously on that which is in cyberspace to keep us functioning this way, it's not only by land phone, but I'm holding a cell phone talking to you. We have these things that exist in the world that God gives creative channels through other people. And if I had to be alone in the world, one could argue, well, would I need it? I probably would. Will I have it? I probably wouldn't, because I probably would think in my mind, I don't need it. And then I'm alone. I don't know what to do. It gets all confusing. But we are not created just for that function alone, just for the function of making a phone. We are continuously phones and other elements to function with, because we are in relationship with one another. That's what happens when we're in this struggle. What you and I do with people is the same thing that individuals do to create these tangible objects that's there for us to hold on to in a practical matter. If just in the same light that we need those creativities to bring in that which is needed in those functional channels, individuals need us. The communication with the spirit that gives energy of life continuously to people and give it to them in the right way, which they're to live out that spirit. If they do not come to us, if we do not come to one another, we may be off target with the use of that very spirit that we are created for. So we need one another. You need me.
Yes.
I need you.
It's just so amazing. I was thinking about this whole journey that started with Reverend Danny Garcia and different interviews, and now, you know, our interview currently right now that we're doing, how it all started, you know, on Facebook. I was speaking to someone I know who spoke about, you know, the Marine, Andrew Tamarisi, who is still in the Mexican prison, and about this wonderful man, Reverend Danny Garcia, who's doing this walk. And I said, wow. This man, Andrew, I was speaking to, I said, wow, I'd love to have him on my show and speak to him. And next thing I know, he gave me his phone number. He said, you know what, speak to him. I called him up that day. The next morning, we did an interview. And then Reverend Danny Garcia gave me your information, gave me two or three other people's information. And I had no idea about the International Day of Peace. I really had no idea about all of this that was going on. And now it's just this snowball effect in a positive way. It's just opening up so much that I'm learning about, that I'm growing spiritually, emotionally, everything, that it's just something I could have never, 5 months ago, I would never even have comprehended or had this idea that this would even be happening. And I think that's what we're talking about, having this togetherness with prayer, is it brings things that that's God, things you don't even know what that is. You couldn't comprehend it, but it just happens if you have faith and you are open and come together.
Yes. And, you know, and thank God for Reverend Danny Garcia. The man has been out. Yes. You know, when every time I look at him, I think of Jesus paving the dusty roads of Galilee. He has been out on the pavements around the globe, on the dusty roads around the globe, and he will go again. When he found Jesus Christ in the midst of his developmental pain and found the transformation into a joy, he did not just sit on that joy. He didn't say, oh, I got mine. Now, you know, others got to find their way. He didn't take it and say, oh, I'm going to market this, that individuals will pay me this and I become famous for this, that. He just started walking and praying and fasting and seeking God more and asking God to intervene in places and going to places to say, I'm here for God, to be an instrument of peace. When a man like that is existing in our time in history, it's time for us as a people to see that God has made the transformation right before our eyes. And when, you know, we don't even have to read about it. We can join in with it now. And now, that's the urgency of now, for individuals to come and see. Do you want to see a miraculous change? God has changed Danny Garcia. Now join in, walking, praying, fasting. Watch what God does.
Yes.
Give God a chance.
And the impact I've seen him have with the shows I've done with him, and my mom heard our show that was on this past week, and she was just in awe, and she actually said, he's the coming of Christ. He's the next coming of Christ. She goes, what his message? She said, I can't even explain it. He just moved something in me that it was just, you know, it really inspired her. And she said, wow, this is just so amazing. And also feedback that I've been getting from my listeners about, you know, this is a part of my three-part series, my interview with you leading up to the International Day of Peace. And people are just, you know, they're sending me prayer requests. People are getting involved. And it's an amazing feeling. It's just one of those feelings that it's just saying this is a higher power. This is God in work. This is something you can't even explain in words until you go through it, that you know something bigger than you and me, something really big is going on.
Oh, yes. I'm glad that you're asking individuals to send in the prayer requests. And we're going to walk with those prayer requests. We're going to be praying for every one of them. And this anointing that you're speaking of, that is you know, we could call in the Christian community, we speak of the parousia, the parousia, and we call it the second coming of Jesus. What it really means, though, is the coming of the Anointed One. And the Anointed One will come in different elements, in different ways. It's not just seeing the body of Jesus as we all will see at the consummation of history. But that parousia is not just the reference to be held and bound in the theological orthodoxy of it, saying the second coming of Jesus and the end of the world, the individual sphere, the end of the world. That's not it. It is to say that there will be an ultimate time when the world is consumed that way. But before that happens, it says, you are going to see the Lord in the interpretation of that theological position coming for a celebration. It's going to be a celebration. And all of that will come. So we've got that theology. But in the midst of that, parousia happens prayerfully every day. The anointing of God falls upon us. Therefore, Messiah comes in the midst of us. Savior. We need salvation now. If we were just waiting on Jesus with the second coming for the consummation of history, then all of these things would just be happening and there would be nothing that we could do. But that's not true. God speaks to you. God is anointing your show. Alexa, I mean, see it. Experience it. He's anointing your show. The anointing one. That's what Messiah represents. The anointed one. So when they say Reverend Garcia, the anointing, the experience, that anointing, he can't help but get that off. Because he is anointed for what he's doing. He is Messiah for what he's doing. He is the representation of God in what he's doing. And no one else can do it the way that he's doing it. He himself will have the mantle and pass that mantle on to the next one to do it in the light in which he's doing. What we have in Jesus is the ultimate representation of the anointing. You see, David, if you look through Scripture, the Anointed One was seen even in David. David was seen not just as a king, but David was seen as Messiah. In the Jewish tradition, that's there. In the Christian tradition, that's there. Even Islam will speak of him as being an Anointed One, as a prophet. And Baha'i faith will come to recognize him as an anointed one, as a prophet. Difference is with the Messiahship of Jesus, in that same lineage of David, came the anointed one for all of the world, for all of existence, at all times. But we cannot discount the anointed ones like Danny Garcia, who's anointed to be the walking man and to bring peace around this globe if we just listen and walk and pray and fast together.
Yes.
So your show is
and
anointed.
Also, thank you. And also all the work you've done, you've really been, you know, putting together with all the different areas of the boroughs and really assisting Reverend Danny Garcia and also being on the walk with him. And I know he's also coming to a classroom and he'll be teaching, and you two will be working a lot on educating and praying with the community, which is just such amazing work.
Well, we are glad to have you, and that God has chosen you to be an instrument in getting this word out, to be an instrument in touching hearts and souls of men and women. You know, Alexa, what you do every time you do a show, you reach millions. Without you doing this show, those millions would never hear of one pinch of a thing that I would do. They would never know my name. They would never know that I'm a praying man. They would never know that my wife prays with me for peace. They would never know that we teach students and people. They would never know that. But because you are anointed to do what you're doing, and, you know, the tears just well up in me right now in praise of God for you and how you will sit with people one-on-one or in groups to give them hope in the midst of hopelessness. That is such a power, and that's what we need more of. We need individuals around this world, everyone who's hearing your show. We need them to go and soak in, breathe deep, and on the exhale, just breathe out the name of the Lord and receive the Spirit of God and be the instruments and do what God would have them do in this sea of time for the salvation of humanity.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. I really appreciate that. That means a lot to me. It's sometimes we forget when we get caught up in everything and just doing and doing that, it's how much that we're helping people and touching their lives.
Amen.
I always say I'm very humbled by what I do, and I'm very blessed by what I do. And a lot of people say, oh, you hear all these horrible things, you must get sick of it or you must get depressed. And it's not, it's hard to hear it, but I think I hear it and I know, oh, this person's going to be so in such a good place in a couple of months. Like, I know that the potential that this person can, to, and I can feel it, and I get so excited that, and they're like, oh, it's not good, right? I'm a hopeless case. I'm like, no, actually, no. You're going to do really well. Yeah, I just have this feeling. I know I can see it. I've seen people come out of miracles. And it's just been like, I mean, they have heard such horrific things that no one, you'd ever think, how do these people get up in the morning? And now it's, they're going to church, they're in relationships, they're going to school, they're working, and it's just, I said, it's just such rewarding work and such like paying it forward and seeing really how things work and how God works and the power of prayer and the power of support. Yes. If people want to follow what you're doing and the work that you're doing, because you're so involved with so many different areas too that we might have not been able to cover on the show tonight, is there any website or somewhere people can follow or get updates on what's going on?
Yes, if they would look at the website of unchcsh.com, they will be able to follow much of what's there. If they will email me at LUOROUS as in Sam E at AOL.com, I will send them information. And of course, Reverend Garcia is continuously posting on globalwalk.com.
Yes, and we're accepting prayer requests before and after September 21st, so people can still keep them coming. They can email them to yourself or to Reverend Danny Garcia, or also to myself at insightintohealing@gmail.com. And I also have a Facebook page, Insight into Healing. You could private message me. All names are confidential. If you, even with prayer requests, you do not need to give us your name. You don't need to give us any information. Just, you know, prayer for my son to heal, prayer for my friend. Just, and that will, I've been, you know, started to collect the prayers. I'll be emailing them to yourself and to Reverend Danny Garcia to move forward with the prayers. And they will be being prayed, I think, also after the 21st. Reverend Danny Garcia is going across the country. So the prayers will be going for a very long time.
Amen. Yes.
And I just want to thank you so much for coming on my show, and thank you so much for spreading so much, you know, health and positivity and really in healing and hope and faith for our listeners and for myself. Thank you so much.
Well, I thank you, and I just pray right now, Almighty God, continue to utilize this, your servant, to bring in and usher in your will in this time in history. Alexa, God bless you. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Good night, everyone. And God bless you.
And you.
Good night.